Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. And we are back tonight with a brand new original broadcast. And for this event, I have two very lively guests, and I think we're going to have a really fun show tonight. Well, I'm calling this show tonight The Cougar and the Kitten, in honor of my two guests who bring two different perspectives. And you can hear them already in the background, so they're chomping, they're ready to go. So I'm going to introduce, without any more advance on my part, in this corner we have La Grande Dame of the Sexpert Writers, she who has written more books about sex. If you go down to your local Barnes & Noble or your Borders book, most of the books on that shelf will be written by Susan Crane Bakos. And you should really check them out because they are so good and they're so beautifully produced. The Sex Bible for Women, The New Tantra, The Orgasm Loop, The Orgasm Bible. You know, I could just do the whole show tonight and just recite all the titles of your books, Susan, and that'll be that, you know?
Where are you, Stephen?
I'm here, and I'm broadcasting from a secret location in Bayside, Queens.
Oh, you should be here at Maxie's Grill on 19th Street with us. We're giving them a plug.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a great place. You know, I do a lot of my interviews here. So
yes, I know. One of the first times we met was down there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Stephen, that cop has been emailing me.
Oh.
He wants to take me out for drinks. What do you think?
I think he's a cool guy.
He's okay, huh?
Yeah,
all right.
He's a good guy.
On you. That's a big responsibility. That is a big one.
And,
so what are we going to talk about tonight? We're going to introduce Mara,
because it's the Cougar and the Kitten. And our kitten tonight is, she's the author of a wonderful new book called Thank You for Coming. And her name is Mara Altman. Hi, Mara.
Hi.
I'm really glad to have you here tonight.
Glad to be here.
And I'm especially glad because, yes, we are, this is a brand new broadcast, but we are on tape tonight because actually right now as we speak, Mara is reading at the Blue Stockings bookstore in Manhattan, and I'm there listening to her read.
And I'm there too.
Yes, you are. So we are on tape delay tonight, but we are here, and this is a brand new broadcast. So I wanted to get both your reactions to different topics, but let's kind of start with one of Susan's most recent posts. And Susan, tell me where we can see your wonderful blog.
You can see it at www.sexyprime.typepad.com, which is kind of long, I know. But that's where it is. And it's great.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah,
I finally put Kimmy's
up today. You hear the sirens?
Yeah.
We told you we were sitting outside in New York City, right?
Me, folks, this is live. This is live. This is internet radio
live
for you.
Live in the city.
But definitely check it out because it's one of the best written and most entertaining blogs out there, and one of the things I like about it, besides it being so informative, it's one of the few places where I get mentioned. With Susan Chris me. So, recently, one of the most recent postings you have up there is, and part of the reason why we want to get Mara's comments, is called The Power Kiss. And how much permission does he need to give you one?
Well, Stephen, as you know, because you were there, the kissing workshop was conducted by a guy who actually has some pretty good full-body kissing moves. I thought, considering how he looked and how unattractive she looked, they had these really fabulous moves, and it actually kind of turned me on watching them. But, Stephen, as you know, he kept every other, you know, like every move he would say, now I ask permission. Can I touch her breast? Can I do this? Can I do that? And he referred to the Antioch College rule. And he's in his 40s. He's closer in age to me than he is to people in his 20s. He thinks he's, like, speaking for. Yeah. And I had a real issue with him. It's like the Antioch College rules were infantilizing sexual conduct in the first place.
Yeah.
And they're stupid. They don't work. And we need to teach people how they can communicate without, don't you agree, Myra? Without saying, may I touch your breast now?
Well, I have to say that I was very uncomfortable in my early 20s dealing with men because I felt like they weren't reading me and they would go too far and too fast.
Would it have helped if they'd said, may I kiss you now?
Well, what happened was that I started researching my book and I met Betty Dawson and her young man, Eric Amaranth, or Eric Wilkinson.
Oh, Stephen knows Eric.
Yeah and he actually,
yes.
he applied these rules to me the first time we were together doing kind of like a session. He was like I guess you'd say a sex surrogate in a way.
He is
and,
a sex surrogate.
Yeah. I guess you could totally say that then.
So does he have a 9-inch dick?
Anyway. he applied the rules to me. He asked permission with each movement, and it actually empowered me a lot, and I felt very, very comfortable. It was a great kind of breakthrough for me.
Really?
Yeah.
So every move he asked you permission.
He did.
Of course, that was a surrogacy kind of.
It was.
It wasn't a personal.
But now it's different. Now that I feel comfortable with myself, I wouldn't want to have to go through that with everyone. I think I'd find it excruciating.
Yeah.
It's painful, actually. Yeah. I want
someone. That's how I found it when he was giving us this demonstration at the workshop.
I want someone to be able to read me.
Reed was giving us a demonstration.
Read
right,
me with
exactly.
The body language.
That's what I think we should be teaching men. Sex educators should be teaching men how to read the body language, how to read what the woman wants, not how to say, may I touch you now? May I touch here?
No,
may I touch there?
There might be a right.
Because you know what I would say to a guy who said that? I would say, out of here now.
No, she wouldn't say anything. She would just kick him out.
Shoot a curb, honey. Stiletto in the ball, and I will play with my vibrator. So, there you are.
I was hoping you might say something like, you got my pants off, my legs are open. What do you want me to put a flag up there and wave at you or something?
No, honey, that's crude. I would never say that.
Oh, I know you wouldn't say that, but that's just sort of came into my mind, like, you know.
We have a couple guys listening in on this. And this stiletto.
Yeah.
I think Mara and I should do
that
a radio show.
My whole bun.
We should do a radio show for Maxis every week. What do you think, Stephen?
I think it would be great.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I'd love to, you should probably do one of your own, but I'd love to have you both on regularly.
Thanks, Stephen.
We'll
see you here every Thursday.
Isn't she more fun than Alex? A spanking man?
Oh, yes.
I could be more fun than Alex, a spanking man.
Does Mara know the history of that unfortunate person?
Does Mara know about that unfortunate person?
Yeah.
No, I don't know if she does, but if she keeps reading the blog, I will keep reporting.
Yes, right. Just for everyone who's a regular listener of our broadcast, Alex Zola, who was Susan's former protege, has left New York City and has gone, I'm going to say he's gone to places unknown, although if you read Susan's blog, you'll know where he is.
Scottsdale, Arizona is not unknown.
Yes. I was trying to give him a little bit more of an exit, but what the heck, you know, it's not my job.
I'm fascinated now. I'm going to have to look at the old post.
Go back and look at the old post.
Which
is always a good thing for anyone to do, to look at the old post.
Plug it.
I'm still getting, do you know how, guess, Stephen, what is the most hit post on my blog?
What's that?
The basic black dress of blowjobs. My blowjob advice. Hundreds, if not thousands, of hits on that thing every day. I mean, it can be, some days it's
thousands, but it's
she's
always
responsible
in the
hundreds. For thousands of great blowjobs.
I would hope so. I hope that they are taking this advice and they're working it out and they're giving great blowjobs. I certainly hope.
Well, I hope so,
you know, I had one of those days today, Stephen, when I thought the only thing that I was feeling very tense, and the cock on call is not on call, is in Dubai. And you know, I like to suck dick when I'm feeling tense. So I just had to play with one of Candida Royale's little vibes, the one with the slanty head.
Uh-huh.
I can never remember the name. We need to look that up.
Yeah.
That little turquoise thing.
Do you suck on it?
Do I suck on it?
Like
No.
Really?
I can't have the blowjob, then I will do the clip. But there is nothing more satisfying if you're tense than sucking cock. That is, to me, that is a satisfying thing you can do. I mean, it takes all the tension away. It's like a big girl's lollipop.
I'd be afraid to bite it if I was really tense.
No, you're not. I mean, the tension melts away, and you just really get into the cock, and it's, yeah.
What do you think about that, Mara?
What do I think about what?
What Susan's
about
talking about.
It's really the cock.
What was the question? What was the question?
What does she think about what you're talking about?
Oh, about sucking cock. Do you find it tension reducing?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's tension reducing for me, though I enjoy it if I enjoy the person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just a suck any cock kind of gal, I guess.
Well, I'm not either. I'm definitely
it's
not.
It's got to be the right
it's
cock.
It's got to be the right cock.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, if you're not into the cock, it's like, you know.
Right.
But I have to say,
a raspberry Tootsie Roll Pop, then you don't want an orange. So
I think it's a really special thing to share with somebody. And
sure.
I think it's a special thing to share with myself.
And I think it's like, you know, when I was, some of the...
I hear you laughing, Stephen.
Some of the people that I talked to during reporting my book also said it's like, not about, you know, don't make it about their penis, make it about your mouth. Like,
yeah.
You make your mouth feel good when you're getting
I can see that, but it's all, to me, it's really very much about their penis because I really like the cock. It does feel good in my mouth, but I really aesthetically love the cock, the feel of it. So it's more than just my mouth. It's also about this wonderful appendage that men have that we don't. Yeah.
Well, thank
We're
you.
Just smiling.
I'm watching our hand
We're
motions.
We're nodding and smiling.
There's some hand motion showing, kind of showing the cock, how big the cock is.
How big the cock is.
Is this what you were hoping to talk about tonight?
I was hoping just to get to hear you and that this broadcast would finally just happen. You know,
it's happening. Did you want to know more about kissing and permission and all of that, the kissing workshops? You know,
as you probably remember, Susan. Unfortunately for me, I was sitting on the floor and I was kind of like nodding out most of the time. Not the fact that I was bored or anything or tired. It's just that I have that's part of my condition. But I got the gist of what he was trying to do.
Yeah, well, my problem with him is that he sounds like so many of these sex educators, and I would really like to take them on. Myra and I are thinking about doing a book about searching for love and relationships. And I want to take on all these crappy intimacy experts who tell us all this total BS. And he's one of them, you know. I mean, teach us how to kiss, fella. We can deal with the permission stuff on our own, I think. I mean, give some real lessons to people that count. And teach men how to read body language.
Yes.
So one important message for men and for women, to empower women, is to say, if you don't want it, you say no, and no is no.
Yes.
You don't need all other crap, all this back and forth.
Do you think
that
men have a harder time reading body language than women do?
Yes.
No, I think men read very well, but they keep pushing it if you don't step up and say, listen, I said no, you know, I'm giving you the no here. But I think they read it, they just keep pushing. That's part of the male, unless we're, we've been talking about alpha beta males here at Maxie's. Boy, if I had some good stuff on that. That might be our next discussion.
Yeah, I would say that both situations imply. I think some do read it well and they keep on pushing, but I think that there are some who don't read it at all well.
There are some what?
I think that there are some men who do not read signals at all well.
Oh, there probably are, and there are women who don't read signals at all well. But
so
that doesn't
I
mean
think,
that we all have go back to like behaving like we're in remedial reading, you know. Some people don't.
Absolutely. But I certainly think that a class on reading signals would be a good one.
I think a class on reading signals would be great.
I think it would be especially great if it was held at Sexy Spirits and I got a commission off of it.
But it also seems like it should be common sense, like making another
A lot of it should be. That's the way I felt about the stuff he was saying.
But I guess it's not always. I don't know.
I don't think so. Well, let me ask this for Mara, because you are our representative of the younger generation, but I don't want to put that entire burden on your shoulders. But what do you see out there as, like, real problems? What do you see as some issues out there?
We got distracted. Lots of people are walking by. That's
okay.
The problem when you do a radio interview outside in New York.
Yes.
You know, we're looking at things, we're thinking, who are these people?
Yeah. So for Mara, what do you think are some issues out there today? What are you finding, and what's being reported to you?
Huh. What's important to you?
What's important to her?
Finding her orgasm. That's a hard question, because I'm in a relationship right now, so I'm not necessarily like on the dating scene and
but I could break that up in 5 minutes.
It turns out, you know, the cougar has the kitten perspective and the kitten has the cougar perspective.
No, kittens are really into relationship. Cougars not so much.
Yeah.
Cougars have like been there and done that, sweetie.
Yeah.
Had that whole relationshipy thing going on.
Yeah.
So a young guy told me this week, he said that he thought that men really got into relationships when they were 50. And I said, that's really nice, because women are so over it by then. Perfect timing, guys.
Yeah. That seems to be one of the things that screws up, like.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just, as Stephen knows, I'm not terribly into relationships.
Yes.
Stephen has been through many dumping of boy toys with me. Not surprising, right, Stephen?
Oh, yes.
Many. But Mara is, I think she's going to be soon at the point where she's looking for marriage.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why I want to take her out on this.
Marriage freaks me out. Trip
all over America, where we challenge everybody on their intimacy, love, and marriage advice.
I love that.
The hot monogamy woman, I want to nail her.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, but the question before about what's hot today, I just think that it's like the big issue is getting women to feel comfortable and asking for what they want, like knowing what they want and then asking for it and not feeling ashamed for not having those like right reactions to things, not, you know, having the screaming orgasm or whatever. Like they can just be authentic, and that's the biggest thing. I think there's just so much shit around intimacy and orgasm.
Yeah.
Like it's wiping away that shit, and just if you can talk about it, then you can fix it.
Right.
That's really all it is.
I think she's right. It's women need to, especially younger women, but a lot of older women, so women are like over 35 or 40, still don't know how to claim their own pleasure. So I think claiming your pleasure is a big issue for women. It's like, what is it I want? How do I go about getting it?
Mm-hmm.
And women have problems with that because they confuse the love in relationship, and they think if they love this guy, they get that all wrapped up, and they think they can't go for what they want sexually because maybe they'll hurt his feelings, or maybe they'll scare him off, or maybe. So they don't go for it.
Yeah, they don't assert themselves.
They don't assert themselves.
Absolutely.
Which I must add is a problem I have never had. So asserting myself, not an issue. Never was.
It's true, and you should see the men fucking magnetize themselves to her.
He's seen it.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Beautiful, and you're so who you are.
Men like that.
Exactly.
If you really are who you are, that's a lesson for women. I mean, if you're not going to pretend to be something else to please them, and if you are going to stand up and say, I want this, I don't want that, then they're drawn to that because it makes everything easier for them. You don't have to worry about how do they read the nuances and what does she mean if she says this. And,
yeah.
You know, what she means is what she says, and they can deal with that. I had this great discussion here at Maxie's last night with two young guys, and they were saying that, you know, that one of them says, my girl doesn't really tell me what she wants until I haven't done it right, and then she tells me. And I think that gets back to what you were saying. That is the big issue of the day.
Yeah.
It really is.
For Mara, what were some of the more interesting things that you observed during your quest?
Well, I think one of the more poignant moments was being with what I called the orgasm people, because they wanted their name to remain, censored.
Okay.
and learning about...
Is that one cult and one taste people?
Not one taste.
I know what you're talking about.
Family of people, and they did you know, the deliberate orgasm, and just how they lived, like this orgasmic lifestyle, they called it, you know, and pleasure, and I don't know. It was amazing, just the way that they knew one another, not even sexually, but just, like, intuitively, they knew each other's emotions, and that was really fascinating to see.
Did that appeal to you at all?
It didn't.
Great question.
It didn't, actually. You know, I was introduced to a lot of different lifestyles during the reporting of my book, and I was kind of really relieved when it was over and I could go back to kind of being my normal way. I had a little bit of, like, workshop, orgasm, kind of rubbing of clit overload.
Yes, the upper left-hand or upper right-hand quadrant.
What about the other quadrants? And then I remember, like, the first time I was with someone kind of more romantically as opposed to these workshops and stuff, and I was like, what is it like to have someone, like, not use a method, you know, to rub my clit, like, just whatever the fuck he felt like. I was like, dude, you're doing it wrong.
You're not following
I'm like, the path. I guess the people are going to yell at you. You're in trouble, man.
The orgasm police.
The orgasm police are coming. The orgasm police are coming.
Exactly. Stray from the clit.
Never stray from the clit. Now, that's, you know, it's really interesting, too. What do you think about all the clit research about the people who say, the Betty Dodson people and the Sherry Winston people who say it's all about the clit?
Uh-huh.
And the people who say that, yes, there are G-spots and you can't have a vaginal orgasm. Do you have any feelings about that?
I do. I think it's safe to say it's all about the clit, because most women can get something out of the clit.
But it's not all about the clit.
It's not all about the clit. But if you concentrate on that, you're going to be pretty sure you're going to have some sort of sensation. I think you're probably limiting yourself if you don't explore the other parts of your body. But that's a really good place to start and to get people to, like, pay attention to and get men to realize, like, it's not about fucking her and getting a orgasm. It's, like... You can please her, you know, in other ways.
Yeah. That's a point.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I also want to ask for Mara. Were you exposed at all during that time, were you exposed at all to the philosophy of those places like One Taste?
Yeah, minimally. I mean, I stayed with, the orgasm people a couple of weekends and talked to them a lot. And then I went to a lot of, like, the workshops and I forget what they call it for One Taste, but, like, kind of the benchmark type stuff.
Right. What did you think of that?
I thought it was really interesting, and it really challenges people in their kind of reality. You know, it busts people. And sometimes I saw it in a really good way, how it was done, and sometimes I thought it was taken upon too viciously, and it tore people apart that weren't ready to be torn apart.
Right.
So that's kind of what I thought.
What do you mean by torn apart?
Like, they would challenge you on your, kind of, your reality.
Yeah.
It's, like, really psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I hate this about these people. Their challenge is, if you don't agree with them, you've got a psychological problem, right?
Not necessarily.
No?
How would you describe it?
Stephen, how would you describe it?
Well, you know, it basically all comes out of the work of Victor Barranco. It comes from the late 60s, early 70s, and it comes from the encounter group phenomenon. And, you know, it's trying to transform somebody, give them a transformational experience where you break down, let's say, certain parts of the personality, and then you rebuild it. It can have positive effects, but I'm sure it could also have, you know, some not so great effects at all. And so it's like, you know, I think you have to be very, very careful when you do that sort of thing. And
extremely careful, and I think that you have to have really, really responsible and trained people doing the group. And
you end up in these group situations where somebody follows the leader into a sweat lodge and dies. You know, I think it can do some psychological harm to people.
For me, I went into it so skeptical that like I took in a lot of really interesting information, but never got like taken away by it. You know, it really did challenge a lot of my assumptions, and it made me think about love and life in really different ways, which I think were totally valuable.
That is good.
Yeah.
That's why we're going to go out and we're going to learn about intimacy and relationship and challenge our assumptions.
Mm. Although,
now, my assumptions are it doesn't exist.
Well, that's
so maybe I'll fall in love, Stephen. That would be very weird.
I'd like to see.
We won't know. Is it love or is she finally senile?
It's dementia.
Is it love or dementia?
Love or dementia. Well, here's a question for you. Is love dementia to begin with?
Absolutely. Oh, come on. You know the science behind it, all the brain cocktail, all those hormones cooking around in your head. It's all brain cocktail. It is dementia in a way. Your brain on lust is not a straight thinking brain. Now, I think that's fine if you realize it, but people make decisions based on that wacky new relationship euphoria as identified by Nan Weiss in her desire curve research. If that's where you make your decisions, it's troublesome, I think. It's very troublesome. But we all do. I mean, we all get married in the state of NREU, which is crazy. And then when we come down from it, we wonder, well, am I not in love anymore? You know, how can I stay with this person? Blah, 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 blah. If we educated people better about what this stuff is all about, they would make more wise decisions, I think.
Yes.
They would say, okay, I'm going to enjoy this mad love phase, but I want to marry somebody. There's a partnership that probably...
I think to do that, you'd have to, like, revolutionize Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hollywood's responsible for a lot of this crap, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it'd be really hard. Yeah,
definitely. I agree.
So, Mara, do you have any screenwriting ambitions then?
Remember, Stephen, you sent me this research piece last winter on the effect of the Hollywood musicals on women's minds.
Yeah.
Not musicals. Well,
really?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Stephen has the best research in the world. Nobody.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on my list, Mara.
Oh, great.
So you'll start getting stuff from me.
Woohoo!
so Mara, were you exposed to the idea of one of the things that they talk about a lot is a man's pleasure is giving the woman everything she wants?
Yeah, and also about like approval.
What do you think about that?
What I think about a man giving a woman everything.
Do you think that men get their most pleasure out of pleasing women? What do you think?
I think they get a lot of pleasure out of it.
I do too. I've always said that. I said that 20 years ago when it was a shocking thing to say because I based it on the penthouse letters I got from men.
I think that they like being able to please. Yeah. So like giving them a. Sorry, I'm hearing my mouth. Gross. That reminded me. Anyway,
she had a pubic hair in her mouth.
Just relieving some tension. like if you tell them what you want and then they are able to achieve that, you know, it's totally pleasing to them.
Oh, absolutely. And as my friend Dom Rose, and if you've seen Dom's post, the conversations we've had on sexy crime, he says that it's a game to men. Sex is a competition to men, and they want to be the best.
Yes.
And to be the best, they have to give her the orgasm. So they're not happy unless they're there.
So
to them, it's like scoring the point.
But So whether or not that's better than
which
know,
is why
them having their orgasm, I don't know. But I also think that that's a lot of pressure to put on a woman to, like, you know, they want to have, you have your orgasm for their pleasure. And if you look at it like that, that's not totally fair.
Right.
I don't care if it's fair having an orgasm. Do you care if
no,
it's fair?
For a woman for a woman that has a hard time having an orgasm, and then they have this partner who's totally upset and acting like a, you know, two-year-old because they couldn't achieve this
couldn't
thing.
Make it come.
Yeah, it's, like,
right.
stupid, and it adds all this pressure and friction in a relationship that shouldn't exist.
But
yeah,
if there's not
the,
some kind of pressure or friction in a relationship, it's not a relationship, right?
Yeah, I think these things
that's
should be about better. Giving people tools and techniques, but who needs to have additional pressures and additional anxieties added to them?
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problems that we have already, is that we have far too much anxiety and pressure regarding sex with everything.
You know how to relieve anxiety, Stephen?
A blowjob.
Yeah.
A really blowjob, or else play with your vibrator, one or the other. If I don't have a cock on call to suck, then I play with my vibes. And sometimes I do anyway, but that's how you relieve pressure and tension. That's my lesson of the day.
Cool.
Today I had no cock on call, so I had to play with my vibe.
Oh.
I know. What's that all about?
That's well, that I think maybe that will change. I think that's good. I think there's a lot of things which are happening for you now, Susan, and which I know nothing about. That's the secret. Our secret code.
Secret code, right. He knows nothing. Nothing. Yeah. He knows nothing.
But,
he even knows everything. He says, I know nothing.
No.
Can't have around.
Exactly.
That's my secret code of silence.
The cone of silence.
Yeah, when I keep,
so
when I keep secrets
able,
for people.
Will Myra be able to tell you her secrets, too?
Sure, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Absolutely. I hope that... I hope this is the start of a good friendship between us, Myra.
Yeah, I think it could be. Good friendship between you and
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it would be cool.
We've had a couple phone calls in the last couple of days. Some, oh, shit. That came out wrong.
She'll call you anytime someone pulls out.
Yeah.
So what else do we need to know from Myra?
Basically, what is she hearing from, like, her friends and her contemporaries as to, you know, issues, let's say, that they may be having?
I mean, I seriously don't believe things can be generalized. I have...
Just a general idea.
No, I mean, so many different people, like one of my, you know, closest friends, she's like a loveaholic. So she'll be falling in love every 2 months and, you know, totally unstable in the relationships, but she's really stoked to be in love. That's like,
you know, like I fall in love with a new cock every now and then.
Yeah.
I get re-dickmatized every now and then.
Oh, let me ask you this. What do you think of Sex in the City?
I don't watch it.
Oh,
you don't
okay.
watch it at all?
Well, I've watched a couple episodes, but like I haven't seen the movie, and I wasn't really... I don't really have a working TV.
Okay.
And I haven't for the last 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does the government know about you?
I know, I could be trouble.
Uh-oh.
You know what? I think... It ran its course, and it. I think there's something, you know, new in people's minds now.
What is it? What has replaced it?
Gosh, I don't know if it's, well, maybe the cougardom. Cougars, I think that's huge right now.
Cougardom is huge, but it kind of got its start on Sex and the City with Samantha.
Yeah, but it's the next.
Yeah. It is kind of the next wave, cougars. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's after cougars?
Cougars are hot right now.
We
got to
be ahead of the trend.
After cougars?
Kittens.
I think kittens. I think what I think. All right, here's one. Here's one I'll throw out for you. I would say someone of your age, your generation, let's say, your counter to that?
What is the counter to the cougars?
Yeah, someone, let's say, for your generation, getting that same kind of confidence, you know, and not having to wait till you're after 40 to have that.
You're still going.
Right.
It was definitely more fun when you were here. Yeah, I'm talking to the guy on the street.
Okay.
So what was the question, Stephen?
A counter to the cougars.
A counter to the cougars for Mara's generation?
I don't know.
I don't
plan with that.
Yeah. Well, I think kittens are hot in their own right. They don't need
Yes, absolutely. But what I'm saying is that so that they don't have to wait, you know, so that they could start doing it now, so they don't have to wait till they hit 40.
We're doing radio.
Having one night stands and that kind of thing and getting what they want.
A lot of young girls are very confident having one night stands.
Absolutely.
They're usually drunk when they have them, but they do have them.
It totally happens.
Right.
Right.
This guy out here agrees.
Yeah, but there's a cute... There's a cute young guy out here who thinks Myra's having one night stands.
Oh.
And maybe I am.
This is live internet radio, folks. This is what we have. We do either remote broadcast or a live broadcast.
You know what? I think we should do a regular radio show for Maxis. I'm not kidding. I get the best stuff here. I come here and I get, well, you know, you read the blog. I get all this great stuff from these guys here.
Absolutely.
You'll tell me stories. Yeah, so do you like older women or younger women or just like
that's
women?
Interesting.
Yeah, that's
Come
good.
Here.
Come here and talk to us. We're bringing over an audience member.
Okay. It is like behaving, like taking calls.
Under 35. I'm 31.
35. Hey, how are you
doing? Between 26. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
What's your name and where are you from?
I'm Jamie from London. I live in Manhattan.
I love the accent.
I'm English, basically.
He's English and he likes an 18 to 35.
Cool.
So Mara's in there.
But legally he has to say 18.
Legally he does have to say 18.
Yes. I would hope so.
I'm a lawyer if not.
Are you a lawyer?
No, my mom is.
So your mom is. Okay, a lot of lawyers in my family. I relate to that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Get you out of trouble.
Definitely get you out of trouble. Definitely. Okay, Stephen, what else do you need to know?
So Mara, what's next for you?
What's next for Mara?
Yes.
Possibly a clever...
Breaking up with that guy and having more one-night stands.
Yeah.
That's what she wants, but I don't think that my boyfriend would like that.
Her boyfriend won't like me, I can tell.
Yeah.
And no, I'm just kidding. You know I don't favor one-night stands. If I am with a guy, I want to do it more than once, unless he's really bad. And then the only reason for a one-night stand would be if he's a big disappointment.
Ooh,
that would be the only reason. If he's any good, don't you want to do it again? Why wouldn't you want to do it again?
Yeah.
What would be your next project?
Hers or mine? Well, you know mine.
You're right. Mara. What's Mara's next project?
I'm working on some fiction right now.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you're writing fiction?
A little. I'm taking off other people's clothes, you know, in the fiction, so I don't have to get so naked this time around.
Cool.
You should about having an orgasm in the fMRI machine. I think that's
right. What was that like?
That was very interesting. It was the best orgasm of my life.
Yeah.
I think it was because like I had a, you know, I know it's not good to be goal oriented in this stuff, but like I felt very good about being goal oriented. Like I was gonna have an orgasm for Barry Komisarek and for Nan Wise, and I was gonna give them all this, you know, research material.
God, I have to write
and,
that down.
And they paid me $100, you know, I was like a sex worker. I felt pretty cool in there. And so, like, they gave me, you know, 10 minutes of freestyle while the machine was going on.
Right.
Yeah, they called it freestyle. I could hear Barry's voice in my ears, you know, this older man kind of being like, simulate clit.
You know, a lot of people think Barry is sexy. I am not one of them, but a lot of women do.
He's a great guy.
To me, he's like this wonderful old Jewish uncle.
He sounds like that to me too. He's so nice. He's so supportive.
I love him, but he's not that. He's very funny. You should be with him some night when he's smoking grass.
I think it was uncomfortable. It would be uncomfortable for me if I found him sexy and that he was like whispering me to like stimulate my clit in my ear when I was in an fMRI machine. And then they watch you kind of, they don't watch you masturbate, but like they're in front of you and you have a sheet on you and you know.
Wow. Yeah, because right, you know, I'm at a certain disadvantage because I do not have a copy of the book, so I don't know all the stories that are in it, all the events in it. So tell me a little bit more about the book.
Well, it took me about 11 months to research and write.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in a very raw way that some people say is cringy.
Oh, no, she writes very well.
But I think it's a good kind of cringy, really real. It's very real. I mean, sometimes it's like you're embarrassed for her, and sometimes you're just dying laughing, and sometimes it's tender and it's sweet.
Aww.
It is very real. When she talked about her butt pimple, I was going, oh, God, don't tell us that.
I like the video up on YouTube.
What?
I like the video she has on YouTube. Where she's reading.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did everything from like interviewing my grandparents about their orgasms, which was a very interesting and somewhat delicate time, and still is delicate with them. They don't really like to talk about it. To like paying a woman tantrika for giving me a massage and a G spot massage, which was also really interesting, and I could have
gotten one of those for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she was really worth it, and
was she worth it?
She was amazing.
What was that
she
like?
She asked me if I wanted to touch her breasts, and I didn't take her up on it, and now I really regret it.
I'm sorry. can you say that part again? I didn't hear that.
I said that she asked me if I wanted to touch her breasts, and I didn't do it, and I really regret that.
You want a blanket? I would like a blanket, yes. Will you bring me one?
Just because they were, they were really nice, and when are you going to have that opportunity again?
Hmm.
Yeah, not that often. Although, actually, in New York, you can touch a woman's breast just about any day you want to, I'm sure. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Right,
Stephen? What are your feelings about Tantra?
Interesting.
What are your thoughts about it?
I think it can be good, if it's all about what the person wants to explore. I don't really have an explicit opinion on it I don't really practice it, but I have friends that do and friends that are tantrikas, and I think it's pretty amazing what they do for people, whether or not it's straight up tantra or just like, giving a sensual experience. I think it's nice.
So you do have tantrika friends?
Yeah.
Okay, so you are somewhat familiar with that community.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I'm surprised.
Have you ever been to Sexy Spirits before?
What'd you say?
Have you ever been to Sexy Spirits? Did I somehow miss you?
I went there like once or twice.
Hmm.
What did you go see? Who was
Anton was speaking.
Anton's amazing. I love Anton. What was he doing?
It was kind of like one of those encounter groups.
Was he doing the orgasmic providing? You would have remembered that.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, you've got to go. Doesn't she have to go see Anton do orgasmic providing?
Sure. Absolutely. I would love for her to come by.
He friended me on Facebook today. That was my
Yeah, I told him. He wants to talk to you.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think he really is someone that she should see in action.
Yeah.
Because he is special. What he does is like head and shoulders. When you see Anton, then you're going to be able to put into perspective some of the other people you've seen.
Oh, yeah?
And they're going to definitely be lower graded after you see him. It is.
Yes.
I've seen everything. I've been doing this for over 20 years. I've seen it all. He's the one person that really, really impresses me. Like I get chills in the back of my neck watching him.
Wow.
He's just amazing. He elevates this whole thing without being preachy or spiritual, woohooey about it. He brings a transcendence to the work that he does. He's amazing.
I'm really into it not being spiritual. I'm like into it being very clear.
He's very clear.
and it ends up being a spiritual experience in spite of yourself.
Right.
Without
right.
having one, without foisted upon you. He's the only person in that whole community that I absolutely 100% back, 100% respect.
Oh, thank
the rest
you,
of the people, some of them I think are like, you know, there's some good here, there's some good there. But most of them, you know what I think about them.
Oh, yes. Well, the thing about, you know, he transforms it, but he doesn't throw it at you.
Yeah.
No, so it's actually we're having the level one workshop is going to be on next Wednesday.
Oh, you should go, Mara.
Maybe I will.
You should definitely go.
And
I think that's worth doing.
He's also going to be at Tantric Sex in the City on Sunday, November 22nd. He's going to be teaching there.
What's he doing there?
It's a whole weekend. It's called Tantric Sex in the City, and it's at this yoga studio on Lafayette Street. And there's going to be a whole group of people who are going to be teaching there, you know, the whole 2 days.
Oh, you don't want to go with that, Mara. You just want to go see Anton.
Yeah.
Well, because the other people are just going to, like, bore you to death. Well, Stephen, am I right? They're going to bore her to death?
No, you're absolutely true.
Yeah. He's amazing. What he does is like nothing anyone else does. When I write about him, I feel like I can't begin to do it justice.
Wow.
He's really amazing.
You're very welcome to come by, and you know we should set up because we do have a cable television show. I would love to interview you on the show.
Oh, great idea!
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's so cute. You haven't seen her yet. Oh, yeah, you've seen her on YouTube.
I've seen videos of her, but I'm going to see her tomorrow night. Well, actually, I'm seeing her right now. Because we are on tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep my timelines in the right perspective. But,
right.
Yeah, I think it'll be it's a quite a different experience. He does not, you know, he doesn't try to create it and make it like a mystical experience, but it will become that of itself. So he doesn't go in there with that intention.
You put it beautifully. He does not force that upon you. He doesn't make that claim, but it is. It is. And I am such a cynical, hardened person here. Who is more cynical than I am? But it's just uplifting. And the people in the room, everyone is so respectful. It's incredible. I will make sure she gets there.
I'm sold. I got to check it out.
She's sold. We sold her.
Absolutely. That's great. That's great. And like I said, it'd be fun. You know, it'd be fun. If we had the two of you there for an evening.
I hear the police coming for us. Do you have any more questions?
I just basically have about 10 minutes left. So, is there anything else that Mara would like to say in terms of upcoming events?
I didn't know what my message was when I first wrote the book. It was really, just about, you know, me finding my orgasm, and if it resonated with other people, that was great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to kind of process it all, and I think I'm still processing it and figuring it out, but I think the biggest thing is I would like women to feel comfortable with not matching the versions of women they see out and, like, pop culture and in movies and, like, match the sex scenes and just feel really comfortable expressing themselves sexually the way they feel and authentically and not feeling shame around not having a gazillion orgasms a day or feeling particularly sexual at all times, like, just to really be able to be what they are, you know?
Cool.
Allow for variation.
That's a very good positive message.
Yeah, I think she's absolutely right about that. So allow for variations, because some of us are easily sexual and some of us are not. And either way should be okay. We shouldn't put down women who are easily sexual as being promiscuous or sluts or whatever. And we shouldn't put down the women who have trouble with orgasms or just not that easily sexual. We shouldn't call them cold or frigid or any of the things that have been called in the past. I mean, they're just different ways of being. It's just like men have different ways of being, although usually they're ready, but they just have different ways of being. And we need to have more respect for that. And we also need, I think, her big message about you need to know what you want and be able to step up and say it. That is so important. It's really important. That's a lot of my message. It's about female sexual empowerment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're empowered when you can say, when you can step up and say, I want this, I want that.
When you can say it, I want the red quadrant tonight.
When you can say, do me now, or I want to suck your cock now, or I want you to eat me, or, you know, whatever you want, when you can say it. And I think men find that really sexy.
I think so, too.
When a woman can say, this is what I want.
I interviewed kind of random men off of Craigslist to see what they thought was sexy and what they thought about women who don't orgasm. And that tended to be a theme, was they liked women who could just tell them what they wanted, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Upper left-hand quadrant.
It can be, you know, kind of can be a complicated thing down there. It's like,
you know, men have a hard time finding a clip. And then you're going to tell them only the upper left-hand quadrant works?
They can do it.
With a magnifying glass. That kid is sold with magnifying glass.
Oh, let me, and during the your research time, did you ever see female ejaculation?
Oh, you've got to see that. Have you seen it?
Female
ejaculation.
I have. I talked to this one woman, Tallulah Sulis, who was amazing.
Yeah.
She's a tantra in San Francisco, and she did the movie, which you've probably seen or heard about, Divine Nectar. Have you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we all know that one.
Yeah. And so we talked about it, and she told me about it, and it was pretty interesting. I don't think I've experienced it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'd be.
You know who she needs to meet?
Who?
Susan. You know who Mara needs to meet?
She
needs to meet Kim.
She needs to meet Kim, definitely. Yeah. Oh, she would love Kim. They would be great friends.
Is Kim here in the city?
Yes, Kim is here in the city.
We
should arrange that. I wonder if Kim could go with us tomorrow night to the reading.
Is she a proponent of female ejaculation?
Well, she is probably the best proponent of female ejaculation I've ever seen.
She's probably the best of Anton's models. I mean, amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
She puts everybody else to shame. I don't want to say that, but, you know, once you've seen her, it's like you will have no doubt that it does exist.
Oh, yeah, it exists. For me, it's only existed with a lot of wine, tremendous amounts of foreplay, and a really big dick. That's the only way it's ever worked. You know, I couldn't do it any other way. And it's very rare, very unusual. You know, I think you probably know, we won't mention his name, but he has been missing lately, the one guy that I was really able to do that with.
Oh, okay.
Our missing man.
Oh. Missing in action.
Careful.
And I just want to thank my guests tonight, Susan Crane-Bakos and Mara Altman, for a wonderful, entertaining, and very enlightening show. Thank you both ladies for being my guests tonight, and thank everyone for listening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you have been listening to Mondo Eros, almost live, on bbsradio.com. Thank you, and good evening.